guess relationships, or if you want to make sure that your guy is happy, regardless of the relationship you're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know this to be true, maybe you don't, but men are happier in relationships if they think they're the funny one.
Really? Okay, so they're going to feel a little threatened if you're a little too funny?
I mean, I guess, looking at long-term relationships, guys apparently tell more jokes than women and think their jokes are funnier than women.
I will say that my husband is way funnier than me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I know that your husband's funny. I know you're funny. So how do you feel like it plays in your household?
It's not a competition, but I'll tell you, he makes us laugh, I think, way more. I make people laugh professionally, but he does it more in the home.
Well, that's good, because apparently that makes them happier in their relationship, knowing that. I drive the comedy in this family.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, we steal his material quite a bit.
All right. So, yeah, if you want
to... He's like, that's patent pending.
Listen,
no, it's not.
If you want to make sure that your guy is happy in your relationship, other than the obvious, maybe it's making sure that his humor lands.
Is he, but are they like telling jokes per se?
No, it's just humor. Yeah, it's humor. And look, if they're not funny, then maybe that is a sign that maybe that's not the relationship for you.
Oh, and if you feel like you're the one that's not being funny, brush up on your comedy skills a little bit.
Yeah, all right. In yours and my professional relationship, Kelly.
Oh, don't pit us against each other.
We both bring a lot to the table.
We do. We do. And I think it's situational.
Okay.
Because many times you're kind of telling the story and I'm giving quips. But there are other times where you're coming in with the quips. We're both quippy. Is that a word?
Well, I think I drive the humor in this. And that's the only reason this relationship works.
The Ben Davis.
All right, so Kelly, you know we always like to do the stupid fact of the day from time to time, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, where we give you random facts that are just a little off the wall. And it's a chance for everyone to share in some knowledge together. So we got this from a listener on the text line. Kelly, since you added this, mm-hmm. you want to go ahead and give it?
Yes, and again, if you text it to us, I'm going to go ahead and accept it as fact. It's a picture of a polar bear pooping.
Okay.
And the caption is, fun fact, polar bears yell while they poop. You're welcome. And so I'm just assuming that's got to be true, right?
That is a fun, stupid fact of the day.
Yeah, the picture looks like the polar bear is yelling.
Yes.
Mouth wide open.
100%.
Just took a poop.
However, I don't know whether I had a moment or what. But I thought, you know what? Since I didn't look up this fact, I might as well just type it into the internet.
Uh-huh.
Polar bears yelling while they poop. And the first dozen internet sites that pop up are Mythbuster sites.
No.
And they say untrue. Despite
really?
The common internet myth, polar bears do not scream while they poop.
Is it wrong that I'm upset?
Yeah.
That's not true.
I don't know. So, however, they do open their mouths very wide, which looks like they are roaring. So,
okay.
If you're just getting the picture, then yes, it looks like they could be going, oh.
Okay, yeah. All right. They're grunting it out. Not so much, though.
No, they just open their mouths very wide.
I got to be honest, I'm a little disappointed because I thought, well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that is.
Fun fact about polar bears.
Stupid fact of the day is actually untrue. However, maybe the stupid fact of the day can just be like, polar bears open their mouths very wide and looks like they're roaring when they go number two.
Okay. All right. Either way, fun learning.
Yes, fun learning. And just know, we won't do it probably 95% of the time.
But sometimes we'll fact check.
Sometimes we'll fact check this stuff you send us.
Most of the time we're taking it as fact.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, we'll get a wild hair and look it up.
Sometimes.
99.7 DJX.
Look, I haven't dated in a long time, so maybe things have changed. But I'm pretty sure that if you want a second date, this is probably not something you should do.
Okay. All right, guys, write this down.
It's a setting the bar story, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without stealing your Tinder date's car, then trying to sell it back to her, then you're doing okay.
A guy stole his Tinder date's car?
Yes.
Wow.
So she goes to pick him up. He carjacks her.
No.
All she knew is his name was Darius.
Is that his real name? Oh. He was not very forthcoming in his profile by saying, I like to carjack people in my spare time.
Right, exactly. She probably wouldn't have swiped right.
Probably wouldn't have.
So anyways, she realized he was up to no good. So she runs out. He takes off in her 2007 Kia Rondo. Police quickly are able to get the car back.
But that's not all.
But not before he had texted her and offered to sell the car back for $500.
Wow. Listen, you can have your car back for the bargain basement price of $500.
I bet you paid more for it when you bought it.
And by the way, do you still want to go out on that date?
Yeah, exactly. I'll pick you up. I got a car.
My gosh. Seriously.
Yep.
What's wrong with people?
I know. So, again, setting the bar. Haven't dated in a long time. Things have probably changed since
She's probably not going to date much either anymore. Like, I would shy away from all of that after that experience. My goodness.
Right? Right? So, wow. If you can manage to make it through the day without stealing your Tinder date's car, then trying to sell it back to her, you're doing okay. By
that
the way.
That is horrific and bold.
Yes.
And horrific.
Yeah. By the way, dude's in jail.
Okay. Yeah.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah, you can blame Neil for this one.
All right.
He said, hey there, Ben and Kelly. I'm attaching some info about my wife, who I think would be a great person to call with a phone tap. What do you say?
Well, Holly works at a place that sells hot tubs, and that's good.
Yeah.
Because Robert Hassenpepper has a lot of questions about hot tubs.
Logistical questions.
Welcome to your phone tap.
Spas and hot tubs. This is Holly.
Hi, Holly. Robert Hassenpepper here. Got some hot tub related questions. I figured this is the place to call.
Well, I'd be happy to help you. Are you looking for a hot tub?
Well, I am, and I'm trying to get some general information, too.
Sure.
Okay. So what sizes do hot tubs come in?
Oh, well, generally, I like to group them by small, medium, and large, depending on how many people can fit in them. Mm-hmm. The small ones fit like 2 to 4 people. Okay. Then it goes all the way up to the big ones that fit 7 to 8 people or even more.
All right. Well, how much liquid would you say is in a small one?
How much water? Oh, you're looking at 200 to 300 gallons for a unit like that. Do you have any idea how many people you want to have in your hot tub?
Well, this is going to sound a little unusual, but I don't want any people in my hot tub.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking to get a hot tub that I can use for cooking.
For cooking?
Right, right. I was staying at a hotel, you see, and sitting in their hot tub, and it's hot and steaming and big, and all I could think of was, man, I could make one hell of a soup in this thing.
You want to make soup in a hot tub? 200 or 300 gallons of soup?
That's right. I think it's genius. I love to cook, you see, and I love cooking for large groups. So what if I could use a hot tub to make a huge pot of soup?
That, I don't think you can do that.
Well, listen, I know what you're thinking, that I'm going to get in the soup and stir it with my body, my naked body, but that's not the case. I wouldn't even have to stir it. The jets in the hot tub would move it around.
Wow, so you've really given this some thought.
Oh, yeah, it's all I've thought about since I stayed at that hotel.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd love to sell you a hot tub, but I really don't think this is going to work for you.
Well, what's the problem?
Well, first of all, soup is going to clog up the filters.
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, the filter is there to strain out the stuff you don't want in your tub, and I most people wouldn't want carrots and stuff floating around in there.
Oh, okay, good to know.
I honestly, I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm having a conversation about this.
No, this is great, very helpful. Okay, well, what if I only use the hot tub to cook like broth or a bisque or thin soup or something like that?
Sir, I want to be helpful, but I don't know if I'm the right person to talk to. I should get back to work here.
Oh, well, what about this? What if I used it as a washing machine? What about washing clothes? You know, throw in some detergent in your dirty clothes and let the jets move them all around?
No, are you serious?
I'm actually not, Holly. It's actually Ben Davis from the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. Say hi, Kelly.
Hello.
You're on 99.7 EJX. It's a little thing called phone tap.
Oh, okay. What?
Yeah, Neil wanted us to mess with you, so here we are. Hello.
Oh, my God. Well, you sure did. That was... I didn't know what was happening. Thanks a lot. Wow.
Here's where her mind went. Uh-huh. Me naked, stirring soup in a hot tub.
See, she was already forming a mental picture of what she thought you looked like. Naked dude swirling around in a hot tub. Yeah, stirring soup.
That's all I was doing.
A nice little bisque.
I can't get it too hot, though, because it'll burn my bits. While I'm stirring that soup. With my own stir stick.
Oh, I don't think anybody needs to taste your bit soup.
If I was a soup, what would I taste like?
No, chunky potato. No, I don't think that's not what we do.
Chunky potato? Is it because? No. Is it because I'm getting more of a dad bod?
No. You would straight up be tomato, because you know red hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, red be tomato. You'd be a tomato bisque.
I would think you'd be more of a split pea soup.
Split pea?
Mm-hmm.
What about me says split pea soup to you, sir? I don't think that's a compliment. I'm not sure. I really don't know how any soup could be a compliment.
All right, that's your phone tap.
Okay.
And Twitter at Ben and Kelly Show.
Now, Kelly, I know that you're not big into the Wordle world. But are you into the hurdle world?
No, I don't. I'm fascinated by people that have time to play games during the day. I don't have any of that kind of time.
Well, as I've said, I like to do it kind of as a before the day gets started, just to kind of like a little mental thing to, get the mental juices flowing, right?
See, if I don't get it, then that would just give me shame and frustration. But, and I don't need to start my day with that.
But I was able today, well, one, I was able to get the Wordle today in three. So that's
so great. What an accomplishment. You should have just quit the day after that.
Well, I couldn't because I had to do the show. But I was also able to get the Hurdle. And I don't know if you've heard Hurdle, but Hurdle is the audio version of Wordle where it gives you just a second of the song, and then you can try to guess what the song is.
It's like Beat Shazam?
Yes, exactly. Then it'll give you, if you can't get it there, you can pass, and it'll go to like 2 seconds of the song. And then it goes all the way up to like 15 seconds of the song, all right?
So how many chances do you get?
You get about 5 chances to where it gets up to 15 seconds. But I wanted to play for you because I feel like you can get it in 1 second, Kelly.
Oh, you think I'm that good?
I feel like you could because I was able to get it in 1 second.
Now, do you get multiple choice answers? You just got to pull it out of your brain and type it in.
So you got to pull it out of your brain and type it in. But once you put the artist in there, it pulls up several songs. And in every instance that I've seen, one of the songs is the right answer.
Okay. Did you get it in 1 second?
I did.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Here's the first little second.
Oh, that's Bad Guy, Billie Eilish.
You got it.
Look at that.
See? You'd have gotten it. So cool, right?
Yeah.
You want to do it again?
Oh, it's the same one, right?
No, it's not the same one.
Oh, I was going to say, don't you just get one a day? Or does it reset?
Yes, you get one a day. You only get one a day. But
okay,
but
so let's do it again, because I think I know the answer.
Okay, well, here, let me play for you another one. This was one from a few days ago. Okay, yeah, there it is. All right, ready?
Was that Nickelback Rockstar?
Yes, it was!
I didn't even know it. Yes! I just barely heard a blur.
Yes, that's all you get on the first one. That's all you get on the first one.
Nickelback.
Here was another one. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, first, second. Want to hear it again?
Yeah. Sounds like Green Day.
You got the artist.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Ooh, do you need another couple seconds?
Time of my life?
Do you need another couple seconds?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so you can't get it in one on this one, but.
Okay. I know the song. Wake Me When September. That's Green Day, right?
Yes.
I got the Green Day part.
Yes.
Right.
And it's... Yeah.
Wake Me When... What's the name of that song? Wake Me When September Comes.
Not Begins.
It ends! Yes, Wake Me When September Ends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so that was...
I know it was Green Day.
Yeah, that was one recently. So anyways, yeah, I think it's kind of fun to play along every now and then, the hurdle games. But that's one I feel like, Kelly, in your industry...
That I could excel in?
In, yes. in your line of work... I feel like this could be one that you could excel at.
If it's popular music and it doesn't get too old, I could probably do it.
Okay, let me do one that I got this one in one. So maybe you can get this one in one as well, okay?
Okay.
This one is not one that we would play on 99.7 DJX, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so first second of this one.
That's Beach Boys. I wish they all could be California girls. California girls.
Nope. Beach Boys is right. No, Beach Boys is right.
Is it California Dreamin'?
Nope.
What's the name of the song?
Man, you're gonna need 3 seconds on this.
Oh God. I love the colorful clothes you wear. All I've got is California Dreamin' or California Girls, Beach Boys.
Let me give you a little bit more. I believe in you, Kelly.
The sunlight plays upon her head. They're not saying the name of it.
I know. That's part of the
need for them to say the name of the song.
All right, you're up to...
I know it's the Beach Boys.
Okay, you're up to your last one. This is going to go up to 15 seconds.
I clearly don't know the name of that song.
Yes, you do.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations.
There it is.
Okay.
Oh, you got it. You snuck it in that last one. Good job,
Good
Kelly.
Good Vibrations. I had to start singing the rest of the song.
99 cents. When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So we got this message. Hey, Ben and Kelly, I need to know two things. If I was wrong here, mm-hmm. and number two, what should I do now?
Okay.
So I went to visit my girlfriend at her parents' house last weekend and popped the question.
Congratulations.
I asked her dad beforehand when he was in town visiting us. Her parents were really excited. My girlfriend was super happy. Everything was perfect as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
Well, since then, I've been getting some crap from my mom and my two sisters because they know that I used the same engagement ring I gave my ex-fiance, and they think that's tacky and wrong for me to reuse it.
Oh.
This is kind of regifting, isn't it? I see nothing wrong with reusing the engagement ring. I paid about $6,000 for it 4 years ago. The girl I was engaged to back then called off the wedding and gave me the ring back, so what the heck was I supposed to do with it? It's a perfectly good ring. And listen, at $6,000, it does sound like a really nice ring.
Yeah, right?
I'll just say that. It's a perfectly good ring, so I saved it, and I figured I'd eventually get engaged again. I just always figured the right girl wouldn't care about petty stuff like that. That she'd just be happy we're going to get married. And believe me, my new fiance loves that ring. She's been showing it off to everyone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my mom and my sisters think it's disrespectful. They really like my new fiance, and they think she deserves her own ring. They want me to tell her and get her a new ring.
I never
told her about the ring and the history. I don't think I need to. In fact, I'm annoyed that this is even an issue because I don't feel like I did anything wrong. What would you do?
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? First of all, I feel as though, and we should have reached out. I need to kind of see a picture of the ring for research purposes. Because maybe it is like really, really fabulous. And I feel like there could be a little bit of, it's so pretty, it doesn't matter about the backstory of it.
So you're a woman, Kelly, right?
I am. Yes, I am. Last time I checked.
You find out the engagement ring your boyfriend, now fiance, just proposed to you with was actually a ring that another woman has worn. In fact, not only just another woman, his former fiance wore.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be troubling. So here's the thing. My husband did actually propose before me to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Two other people. Anyway, so they had a ring. He took that diamond, and that diamond had sentimental value. It was his mother's diamond. So that was the diamond itself was very important. So he took that diamond and made it into a pendant for me.
Okay.
That I wore on our wedding day.
Okay.
And then he picked out a whole new ring for me, which I think was good.
Right. It doesn't. So it doesn't sound like that there's sentimental value to this ring for our listener. It doesn't.
No, it's just, it was a really nice ring. He spent $6,000 on it. Figured, you know what? Real good ring. Not going to let it go to waste. I'll just re-gift it to my next fiance.
Most jewelers have a take-back policy, right?
He could do the same thing. Like, if he really, found an amazing, stone, center stone, he could have it remounted in a completely different ring.
Oh, well.
And that could work.
Well, Felix.
You could trade that in.
Texted us and said, you can't return engagement rings.
No. But he could, have the stone remounted, and they can, a lot of times give you credit for the mounting that you're giving them.
I'm really kind of split on this because I see what mom and daughters are talking about, where it's like, all right, yeah, she deserves to have something fresh. We like her, and maybe there's just bad juju on that other ring, but at the same time, it's like, if she likes the ring and that's
why rock the boat?
Why rock the boat?
Yeah. And I don't know. So it doesn't sound like that she is aware. Who knows if she knows that he was engaged before or would even think that maybe the ring was given to somebody else before her. Sarah, the stabby one, says, take it to the grave. Don't tell the new fiance.
Sarah, the stabby one. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts on this, especially if you maybe you've actually been in this situation where you received a ring that wasn't a new ring, or you gave a ring that had been reused,
I think what the mom and sister are afraid of is if she finds out down the line that the ring had another life before her, is she going to be super mad and offended, hurt at that point? She's happy about it right now because she doesn't know.
In the euphoric moment, sure.
Exactly. But if she knew the backstory, would she be angry?
All right, 795-1997. So our listener popped a question. She said yes, yay. But his mom and sisters are a little mad because he reused the engagement ring from his previous failed engagement.
And he's all like, it would cost $6,000. It's fabulous. And she loves it.
Yeah, I've been showing it to everyone. So what to do? Because he's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
And I think their biggest concern, his mom and sisters are thinking, that at some point down the line, if she finds out there is a backstory and that ring had another life, that she's going to be hurt and mad about it.
So I'll tell you, the Facebook comments are on fire. Samantha says, I'm not materialistic at all. That being said, I wouldn't want a ring that was picked out with another woman in mind. Others said, if the ring's the problem, the ring's not the problem, meaning it's the relationship that is the problem.
To his point, though, the ring isn't a problem right now. His fiance loves it. She's showing it off to everybody.
Okay, so
she doesn't know there is a backstory. That's the thing, is the moral question of, do we clue in the fiance that there is a backstory to that ring?
Man,
and if so, how do we approach that?
Because we have everyone from never let her find out to just tell her. And you know what? Honestly, I'm kind of leaning that way. Just tell her. You don't want to start a marriage with a lie like that.
I think he goes to her and say, listen, my mom and my sisters love you dearly, and they pointed something out to me that I really wasn't thinking about before. He can play dumb like he didn't know the significance of that. They're coming and saying, listen, you deserve your own ring, so let's go remount this diamond and pick something out together and start fresh.
Elizabeth!
So he should just remount it and make it special to her. Use the same diamonds, $6,000. I mean, that's stupid to pay that much in the first place, but my ring I picked out is $500. It's moissanite, and I didn't want a diamond. because I'm a mom and I work in the restaurant industry. And I was like, if I lose it, I'm not going to feel like a jerk. So,
well, Elizabeth, that's you. But I'm just saying now,
like, I'm okay, not poo pooing a $6,000 ring. I'm not
right.
I'd be like, okay.
But I'm saying that if you've got that rock on your hand, and then your fiance comes to you and says, can I have that back and just remount it? Like, what's your thought on that? Like, how are you feeling?
I would completely agree with it. I'd be like, let's do that. I would prefer it would be more special. I understand what you were doing, but I'm glad you came to me and we're doing this together. And
okay,
it kind of, yeah, like, it's something that they're, like, doing together.
That's really good. I think that when they can, like, choose a new mounting together, that makes it all about them, which is great, because I think a lot of times too, like, I thought I knew what I wanted. Turns out I love, like, the new style of my ring way better when, you know, I had a hand in picking it out.
Right.
Well, yeah. Elizabeth, you sound like a very well-adjusted person, and any person would be happy and privileged to have you on their arm. So,
well, thanks.
Yeah. And I love your name too.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
You have a good one. Bye.
All right, see ya.
I love hearing awkward, Ben's little awkward way to try to ease out of the conversation.
I wasn't going to tell her I married an Elizabeth, and I know.
Well,
things
why not? Because when you didn't,
oh, is that when it made it awkward?
Fact, it made it weirder. It kind of made it all creepy.
Right. All right. Well, that's me.
Oh, shoot. We do have, like, so many different opinions on this going back and forth, though.
Aaron commented, my fiance and I disagree about this.
Mm.
He says to tell your mom and sisters you bought the ring you want your future wife to wear. That's why your ex-fiance gave it back, because she wasn't the one.
Oh, that's actually not a bad way to look at that.
It's not a bad way to look at it, indeed. It's your ring to do with what you please. On the other hand, I feel realistically, if she knew or finds out that ring was on another woman's finger, she's going to feel like second choice, secondhand ring. You didn't personalize it to her taste.
Yeah.
And you picked it out with another woman in mind.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. But I absolutely see both sides of that. Like, that's a really good way to explain it. Like, this is meant for my future wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was not it.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see the fact that you want it personalized to you. You mm-hmm. want that picked out.
Yeah.
Knowing it's for you and only you. Becky said, consider this. What if you all run into your ex or one of her friends? Do not for one second think that they are not going to recognize that ring. Something will be said to someone and it will find its way back to your new fiance. I swear, this is the biggest small town I've ever seen. Tell her the whole story now. Let her decide what she wants to do. That's a really good point, too.
All right. Well, we're going to have to check back in with them next week and just give them a nudge and say, hey, listen, pooper, get off the pot. Let's figure this out and let us
know. What are you doing? Are you going to take the secret to your grave and
yep.
she's not going to know the history of the ring? Or are you going to tell her and maybe go get it remounted?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep. Fun little game. It's called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Fun little game there. Let's introduce you first to Caitlin calling us from Linden. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
So Caitlin has blondish brownish hair, right? That's kind of the mystery right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a debate.
Okay. Oh, it's up for debate. Okay. I have qualities of both in my hair color, too.
Caitlin is an occupational therapist. She's getting married in 53 days.
Oh, the countdown's on.
Congratulations. How long were you together before the question was popped?
Right about a year.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
so
enough time.
It was like, you know, when you know, you know.
Right, but how long was the engagement?
5 months.
I like it. When you're ready to go, let's just pull the trigger. Let's do it.
Man, like, Caitlin, I feel like you and Kelly would have been the best of friends.
Absolutely. Like, as soon as I got engaged, we sold 2 houses, started building one, planned a wedding, got married in 8 months.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit less stressed.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. And that was a bad schedule.
And Caitlin has a golden doodle named Tater Tot, which... I love the name. Love the name.
That's fantastic.
All right. So, Caitlin, the name of the game, Kelly's going to explain what Little Kid and Drunk Adult is all about.
Well, it's really story time. So we're going to hear 3 stories. And you have to try to figure out if that story occurred in the person's life when they were a little kid or a drunk adult. It's kind of difficult.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. First one.
I accidentally spilled a milkshake on a baby I didn't know.
All right. Accidentally spilled a milkshake on a baby she didn't know.
I think probably drunk adult.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, both of you say drunk adult.
Yeah, first instinct, that's what I think.
First instinct, drunk adult, go with that. All right, let's find out.
I was at a rodeo, but I was a little kid.
Oh, gosh. I feel it's more acceptable.
She was a little
kid. Kids spill stuff all the time.
She was a little kid.
I had just gotten a milkshake, and as I was getting ready to take a sip, I accidentally dropped it off the second balcony and landed square on top of a random baby's head.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot farther than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, the parents were so drunk that they actually thought it was funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Drunk parents bringing their baby to a rodeo and get some milkshake all over. Oh, bless
them. Well, Caitlin, you're 0-for-1, all right?
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Let's hope you have a little bit better luck. Here we go. Next one.
I got bit by a raccoon trying to feed it a hot dog from out of my mouth. Oh, that.
But really, who hasn't tried that?
That could seriously go either way.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go drunk adult again.
Me too. I'm holding strong on that too.
All right, sticking close to drunk adult. First instinct, let's go.
I was a little kid.
Come on! Really?
She didn't know any better, right?
I really loved animals as a kid, and one day I tried to feed a raccoon by putting a hot dog in my mouth, and the raccoon went berserk and bit me on the lip.
Well, yeah, the raccoon's like, you're giving me this? I'm going to take it before you change
She's
your
trying
mind.
To have a Lady in the Tramp moment with a raccoon.
Caitlin, what was that? What was the music that was playing during that scene? Caitlin,
I don't know.
The Lady in the Tramp?
What? Tonight is the night. Oh. Is it that?
Tonight is the night.
It was right. Spaghetti, too. Oh, goodness, right. Don't do that.
Are you going to do that at your wedding?
No.
I guess we could.
No, not with spaghetti, though, Caitlin. I want you to feed a hot dog to your new your new partner.
We might need to get his opinion on that.
All right. Last one, Caitlin. You're literally 0-for-2. You're doing horrible at this game. Well. All right, here we go. Last one.
You're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing great, sweetie.
I got hit by a Frito-Lay truck.
Okay, gosh.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I feel like I need to stick with drunk adult. One of them has to be, right?
If you're playing the odds, one of them has to be, right?
Okay, I'm going to stick with it.
All right, Caitlin's sticking with drunk adult. So is Kelly.
God, I hope
All right.
I was a drunk adult.
There you are.
Yes.
There you
are.
Jeez.
I thought it would be funny to try and jump on the Frito truck as it came towards me, and it hit me instead, and I spent 2 months in the hospital.
Holy crap. Oh, my gosh.
Well, now you can laugh about it, obviously.
Yeah, wow. That is like, someday, buddy, this is going to be a funny story.
And I'm going to tell the Ben Davis and Kelly Kay show. That's funny. Well, Caitlin, hey, you know what? You really didn't do a great job.
No, it doesn't matter, though, on this show.
But we'll give you the tickets anyways, all right?
I appreciate the honesty.
I feel like you're in occupational therapy. You'd be able to see right through me if I tried to lie to you, so... Wait, hang on a second. What do occupational therapists do?
She's not a psychiatrist.
Oh, maybe I was thinking psychiatry. All right. Sorry, Caitlin. I didn't know what your job was.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
That's why we do this and nothing else requires any sort of smarts.
Caitlin, you've spent so much time with us on the phone already. Here, why don't you hang on a little bit longer so we can get just a little bit more information from you so we can get those tickets to you, okay?
Hey, you don't have to tell me to wait in the car any longer before going into work.
I like that.
There you go.
Consider this your first wedding gift. I'm excited.
At Ben and Kelly Show, our social media handle. You can always shoot us a DM. We'll read it. And sometimes we can turn it around and see if we can get you some advice.
This one's from Heather. Hi, Ben and Kelly. I think I really screwed up and I want suggestions on how to fix it, if I can.
You've come to the right place.
So I have a coworker with whom I had a fairly close office relationship. Over time, I developed a bit of a crush on him. Now, I'm in a relationship. He is single. In a spectacular mistake, I admitted this to him several months ago. After some awkwardness, our friendship seemed to resume as normal. Then in recent months, he noticeably stopped speaking to me. I apologized for mentioning my crush and asked if I did something new to upset him or if my continued presence at work makes him uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He dodged both questions.
Yeah.
And now will only speak to me when absolutely necessary to get work done, using the bare minimum number of words. I feel terrible. I don't want to perpetuate an environment where we're both on edge around each other. At the same time, though, I understand his reluctance to talk about it. So how can I address this short of finding a new job?
Oh, God.
Thanks, and help you can give some advice.
Well, I would say that he probably got into a relationship. He's no longer single.
Yep, that's kind of what it feels like.
That may be the thing where, you know, maybe he was able to kind of get over the that initial awkwardness of, oh, you know what, all right, she's crushing a little bit, you know, whatever, we can resume as normal, everything's fine. But then once he started seeing someone, he's like, yeah, this is making me uncomfortable.
Then it was awkward times two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, and the fact is, too, like, she didn't really mention anything about her relationship. Like, she's in a relationship. So has her crush affected the feelings she has for her boyfriend?
Yeah, I mean, she just says she's in a relationship. I have no idea what kind of relationship it is.
Yeah, we don't know the status of that.
You know, a long distance, whether it's open relationship, whether it's committed.
She's still together with them? Not sure.
Man, there are a lot of unknowns here. But how do you address that?
Well, it sounds like she already did, though. She's talked to him a couple of times. Like, she apologized initially, and now she apologized again if she made him uncomfortable. And he's dodging the question, so I don't know if she keeps harping on it. She's already put her feelings out there, like, hey, I've noticed you're acting different. Sorry if I've made you uncomfortable. Is there anything I could do? And he's just kind of not participating anymore in that conversation. I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah. Has anyone had this happen to them where someone at your work has admitted a crush on you? And how did you approach it?
Yeah, maybe some HR people need to chime in on this too, because who knows what the human resources policies are.
I mean, do we have to get HR involved in everything?
Well, maybe they might have some helpful advice on how to help employees navigate through this.
Right, right. I mean,
I keep productivity.
I ended up, you know, dating someone I worked with and then ended up marrying her. So,
right. It was a sandwich shop.
It was.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the food service industry is a little bit loose as it is anyways.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so I didn't see anything wrong with that. So anyways, I don't know. Heather, she was with us saying her name, right?
You know what? She didn't ask, like, please keep me anonymous. Okay, gave us her name. So I think it's fine.
All right.
We didn't shout out where they were.
This is true. Well, yeah, Heather, outside of finding a new job, yeah, I think you just try to plow ahead and almost just do your best to cut him off.
I kind of think that, you know, your relationship status is what it is now. I mean, he's obviously kind of shown you with his behavior that he's not super comfortable with your friendship the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's unfortunate, but I guess you just got to go on business as usual.
All right. Well, hopefully that helped. And by the way, if you've got any stories, feel free. 502-795-1997. It is football season. So Saturdays and Sundays filled with joy and celebration, triumph and defeat. So I thought we'd play a little game, Kelly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's marching band name that tune. As you know.
Okay, so this isn't, are you doing fight songs for schools? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'll get zero right.
A lot of times, marching bands, either before the game or halftime, will play popular contemporary songs.
Okay. This I might have a shot at.
And that's what we're going to do. These are all songs you have heard played on DJX.
Okay. Got it.
In the style of
marching bands.
Yes.
Got it.
All right. If you're ready, shout out the answer when you think you know it.
Okay.
All right. First one.
Billie Eilish, Bad Guy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Good job.
Yeah. Look at you.
Look at that. I'm pretty impressed I got it that early.
I am too. All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Here we go. You're one for one.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is a marching band. Name that tune.
Up Down Funk, Bruno Mars.
Dang!
Yeah!
Look at you!
Go, Kelly. It's your birthday. Is that really my birthday? Okay.
Well
let's
done.
Again.
All right. All right. You want another one? All right. Here we go. It's marching band. Name that tune.
Gosh, just when I was getting confident.
Yes!
I couldn't come up with any of the words.
Wow, good job.
I knew the melody, but I was like, what are the words?
All right, all right. Here, let's do a classic.
Okay. Oh, gosh, that's toxic. Britney Spears.
There it is.
Yes.
You are a lot better at this than I thought.
Thank you. You
are kind of an expert.
Thank you.
All right, you want me to mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, let's do something different.
You want to do it? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Again, well, something different. This would be probably featured on Throwback Thursday. Okay?
Okay. Yep. Yes, I know it. Gosh, I'm
you
trying to find the words again.
You know it.
Despacito.
Yes. Yes.
Despacito. Yes.
Marching band, name that tune. You are absolutely perfect. Do you want to stop while you're ahead?
Fun. No. Let's keep going.
You want to do one more?
I want one more if you got it. This is fun.
All right.
I can't believe I'm pulling some of these out of my you-know-wheres.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh gosh, that is Mr. Brightside. Mr. Brightside.
You got it! Wow!
Oh my gosh, I can't tell
you
the really stupid level of accomplishment I feel doing so well in this game.
I'm telling you what, let's stop it right now, all right?
It's put wind in my sails today, it really is.
You are 100% on marching band name that tune. 99.7 DJ, hold your head up high, Kelly. All right, you know, we always say that learning happens on the show organically, right?
Sure.
Sometimes it's on purpose.
When you look stuff up on the internet and take it as fact.
That's right. So, stupid fact of the day. You ready for it?
Uh-huh.
This is kind of amazing because I didn't know this was even possible or something people did. But the guy who invented Vaseline supposedly ate a spoonful of it every day.
Eating it? Why? Why? No, why? Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
What was supposed to be the health benefits of that?
I'm not sure, but he apparently lived to be 96, so it worked out for him.
Oh, my goodness. No, that is... Listen, if you put it on your lips before and you accidentally, like, lick it, that's not a good taste.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have a taste.
It's not a strong taste. It's not a good taste, though.
But that's what he did.
And we don't know why. He didn't explain, like, hey, this is
what it does for me. Like, hydrates the skin from the inside? Is it something like that?
From the inside? Maybe. Who knows?
Do we know, what exactly is Vaseline made? Like, I know what we use it for, but why was it specifically created? What is its main use? What is Vaseline used for? Petroleum jelly. It's to lock moisture into skin. Okay.
Right. Right.
All
right. So anyways, easy to remove eating makeup, it.
Protect sensitive skin, can even be used to help small cuts and bruises heal. Why are we eating it?
Well, the guy who invented it apparently was trying to figure that out, so.
Can you eat Vaseline?
Well, obviously you can.
Well, it says can be harmful if someone swallows it or gets it in the eyes.
Well, okay.
So the internet's telling you not to.
All right.
But this guy lived to be 96 and
he did. He did.
All okay. Right.
All right, so there
it
you
says,
go.
Okay, here's, according to MissouriPoisonCenter.org, it says, if swallowed in small amounts, petroleum jelly can act as a laxative or cause soft or loose stools.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just trying to keep the pipes
flowing. Maybe he's trying to keep them, yeah, regular.
Yeah.
Right, so there you go. Stupid fact of the day. The guy who invented Vaseline supposedly ate a spoonful of it every day. Yum, yum, delicious.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. No, sir.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a physical reaction to that.
There you go. So I had a wild 24, 36, 48 hours.
Okay. And you didn't even have to leave your house for all this to happen?
And my niece got to witness all of it.
Oh.
So as part of her birthday present, she had a birthday recently. We said, hey, you can have a fun like sleepover at our house. You know, we'll do fun things. We'll, you know, get some pizza or whatever you want to eat. You know, it's like, you know, we'll do fun stuff, right? A little fun sleepover.
So, and how old is she?
5.
Oh my God.
So she comes over. And at the time she comes over, it's this time that we realize, you know, and it's like, all right, well, hey, let's bake something. Let's bake like some cupcakes or cake or something like that. So we go into our like flour, sugar, grain cabinet, right? We got one of those anyways. We open it up and my wife's like, Ben, come here. I walk over and there's a hole bitten out of some almond flour that we have. Oh. And I'm like, uh-oh. And so we start pulling it.
Not there when you buy it.
Yeah, so we start pulling stuff out. We see the evidence of mice.
Oh, gosh.
And this is the first time, like, we've lived in this house a while. Like, this is the first time ever.
Really?
Ever that we've experienced a mouse in our house.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, so we pull everything out. We're like, we're looking all around. Like, we see evidence. We clean it all up and everything.
Oh,
and
it's a disturbing thought,
oh,
doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I can't stand it.
And meanwhile, and so then we're like, oh, okay, this makes sense now. Because probably for about a week, and we're thinking this happened fairly recently, because for about a week, my fat son, Fred, has been camped out in the kitchen by the cabinet.
Ah, he saw the suspicious activity. He saw the invaders. He was ready to pounce. The protector.
But Kelly, he didn't do a damn thing.
Oh, he just watched.
I have 4 cats.
Isn't this your gig?
Yes, I know. What the hell is the point of having a cat or cats or multiple cats? I have 4 cats, Kelly.
Oh,
none of them care.
None of them
none
are
of
pulling
them
their
care.
Weight.
I mean,
if there's anything I learned from Tom and Jerry, the cartoon from all many years ago, is that, you know, cats chase mice, right? That's their thing.
So Fred was camped out next to this cabinet. He was kind of projecting that, hey, there's some stuff happening in here. I've just been kind of bearing witness to it. But, you know, no harm, no foul.
Seriously, Fred. And, Fred, that's your gig.
And
Fred
so,
forgot.
And so this is. So anyways, my other son, Eggs, he is a little bit more vicious. And like I have 2 cats that are kind of indoor outdoor cats, right? One of them murders birds for sport. That's Guinness.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I feel like the birds aren't doing anything wrong.
Well, I know. And again, it's all about just like,
hey, let them know that they're not wanted around here.
We
you
need
know.
To redirect that towards the mice that are invading the house.
Exactly. So we bring him over to the cabinet. We're like, hey, why don't you sniff some of this out? Why don't you pick up a scent or something? You're the one who likes to murder things.
Okay.
And so we go to look for him, and he is outside murdering a mole.
Oh, wow.
I'm like,
well,
yeah, okay.
You know what? That's helpful, though.
I know.
Because those are wreaking havoc in our yard, too.
And so
send them over when you're done.
And so literally, I've got mice that I'm worried about inside and a cat that's not doing anything about it. I've got a cat that's outside that's murdering moles, like flipping it up in the air.
Wow.
Just completely just making it his bee.
Again, and just sending a message to the neighborhood.
And my 5-year-old niece, who's like, this is absolute chaos, and
this
I love all
kingdom.
Of it. I know. She was like, her eyes were wide. She was like, this is, what did I step into? Because, you know, it's like my wife and I are trying to deal with the mouse, and then all of a sudden we find out that there's a dead mole outside on our sidewalk, and I'm gosh, all right, I got to get this. And so, like she runs out. She's like, oh, my gosh, this is great. There's a mole, and it's dead. And it's like,
oh, wow.
We're just,
this is literally,
yes, wild America happening right here in my house, and my cats want nothing to do with the mouse that's inside.
Yeah,
and they
Brittany's like, your 4 cats said live and let live.
Yeah, I know
100%.
I looked at every single one of them, and I'm like, listen, I expect, and there was one of them that I was like, well, no, you're not going to do anything, but I expected.
But the three of you,
yes,
I have higher expectations.
Yes, 3 of my 4 cats. I was like, you.
I need more catitude out of you.
You are,
I need more catosity, something.
At being a cat.
Yes, be more of a cat. Dang.
All
I don't
right.
expect much of you. I give you food every day.
I know.
I give you shelter.
I know. So,
and all I ask in return is that you keep mice out of the house.
Right. Anyways, yeah. So again, wild 48 hours.
That's
my niece witnessed it all and was just like, this is the greatest, most chaotic place I've ever been.
Have you since caught the mouse? Like, did you set traps? What since, you know, can't rely on the cats, have you rectified the situation, or is it still?
It's in progress, Kelly.
Fluid?
It is in progress.
Okay.
We're at the point where I had to convince others in my house that we're going to need to set traps. We can't humanely just like pick them up by the tail and take them outside.
No, you don't just even put a sign saying, can you not live here?
No,
they're not.
No hobo mouse, please.
Yes. Right. No hobo mice.
Ratatouille, take it somewhere else.
Yep. No, nope, they're not going to. Nope.
I'll keep you.
There's no other way to negotiate that. That's how we're negotiating chipmunks right now. We have nice little boxes that Black Diamond is inviting them to come hang out in, like nightclubs, if you will.
Yeah, set maybe I need to.
Like, hey, tell your friends, come on in.
Yeah, maybe I need to investigate those little nightclubs, because my cats sure as hell aren't doing anything too.
Well, no, and our front step is falling because they have burrowed our actual concrete step fell. Like, all right, that's a problem.
They're having a party. And no, I don't need another cat. I just need my cats that I have to work properly. All right.
Yeah, you just need to have another training, maybe.
Right.
How to be a cat.
What's the dumbest, most elaborate prank you've ever pulled? Now, we've done these, you know, as a part of April Fools for, you know, many, many, many years. We do prank phone calls all the time. But this is kind of a setting the bar story. So if you can manage to make it through the day without spending hundreds of dollars filling your work fridge with cheese for no good reason, then you're doing okay.
Why are we doing that? Do we really like cheese, or are we just trying to be funny?
I think we're
trying
to be funny. This guy says he added an unopened block of cheese to his work fridge for an entire month, started posting videos on TikTok.
I've been adding a block of cheese to the fridge at work every day for the past month.
Yeah, it just shows him kind of walking with the block of cheese in hand to the fridge and then putting it in alongside about 15 other blocks of cheese.
So far, no one has said anything about the large accumulation of cheese.
And then he just shuts the refrigerator door and walks off. There is like a large, like 15, 16 bricks of cheese just in like the corner of the fridge on a shelf.
Wow.
Yeah. He said no one said anything about the cheese until one day he was about to add his daily block of cheese, only to find out that all the cheese had disappeared.
Oh.
There was a ransom note.
Oh.
Said, I saw your video. The cheese is mine now.
Oh, my God. Somebody stole the cheese.
Someone stole the cheese. I know. But now everybody's like, how expensive was that? How elaborate and expensive was that prank? That prank must have cost him. Because cheese ain't cheap.
No, it's not.
So you figure maybe $5 per brick of cheese.
Is it Velveeta? Is it the good stuff? Like, no, what are we talking about?
It's, you know, it's like slicing cheese. It's not pre-sliced.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like Velveeta's bricks of cheese.
No, it's not Velveeta. It's not processed cheese. It's normal cheese. It's like a brick of Colby Jack or something like that. You know what I mean? So
from the deli part.
Yeah, from the deli. Yeah, I know you don't normally shop in those parts.
I don't go there. Prepackaged stuff all the way.
I know, exactly. Wait, hang on. Was it pre-sliced cheese? No, there's actual cheese that you have to buy that you have to actually slice yourself. Okay. And that's what he was doing. So at about $5 a pop, you know, he's dropping. I mean, that's at least a $50 or more prank that he was involved in.
Listen, add in some crackers, some fruit, and some jellies. You can have yourself a killer charcuterie spread there.
Right? Got a message from a listener. It wasn't a very elaborate prank, but I saw my friend had left his car unlocked in the school parking lot. Textbooks, iPad, all that just lying there. So I took everything from his car, put it all in mine, hid my car on the other side of the parking lot. And he freaked out, voice quivering, angry at the same time, ended the prank right before he built up enough anger to accuse me.
Oh, my gosh. And then Chris texted, I once bought a dozen donuts, 6 cream filled, 6 jelly filled. I sucked the jelly and the cream out with a straw and replaced it with ketchup and mayo and took them to work, waited for my first victim. It was hilarious.
That is elaborate. That's time spent right there.
Yes, it is.
That is time spent.
That took preparation.
If you can beat any of those, we'd love to hear some of those stories. Most elaborate or slash expensive prank, dumbest prank you've ever pulled, 502-795-1997. What's the most elaborate prank you've ever pulled?
So Tina texted in, my old friend group used to prank each other all the time. One time we filled up the inside of a guy's car with unrolled toilet paper top to bottom. We probably should have checked the weather to make sure it wasn't going to rain when he had to remove it. He wasn't happy with us the next morning when he woke up late and it was raining.
Oh, no.
So many text messages, too. My family, Angelina said, my family saved single socks where the other in the pair is lost for years. My brother and I gathered them all up and used them instead of TP to prank his best friend. Socks in the tree, on the roof, all over the lawn.
Oh, my gosh. Elaborate. Jordan.
So my sister-in-law and I decided to mess with my brother, and we moved everything out of their house. Oh. Everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How long did that take?
Hours. Like an entire workday.
And just put it, like, in the front yard?
No. We put in, I'm renting a U-Haul.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about expensive and elaborate, man. Jordan, that was it.
He called the cops instantly.
Oh, I would too, I think.
So, yeah, I had a lot of explaining to do and a lot of moving to do. And then he didn't talk to me for like a month.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, but you know what? Wow. Hashtag worth it.
Worth it. I still brag about it, and it was worth it.
As you should. Jordan, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, see you, buddy. How are you too?
Oh, that's going to be tough to beat.
Eric, so what has been the most elaborate prank you've ever been involved in?
So I work at a post office just up the river from you guys, and this woman who is a Kentucky fan used to come out and put balloons on my mail truck.
Mm-hmm.
So this one time I got her phone number, and she worked in an office there, so I took pictures of her car, and listed it on Craigslist for her for like $1,500. And I just left it on there all weekend. So I get back into the office, like, delivering that next Monday, and she's just glaring at me like she did. And I just couldn't keep a straight face. Like, my phone's been blowing up all weekend. I was like, it was April Fool's. I was like, April Fool's, you know?
People been wanting to buy my car.
That is funny. He finally just said it was sold. So,
yeah,
that was a good one.
Eric, thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, we had a fabulous boss a couple years ago, and we had a great team. But I kind of like to pull pranks secretly and played off actually a couple of them. My boss had a statue of a horse in his office.
Wait, a statue of what?
A horse.
Oh, God. A horse. You didn't pronounce that very well.
A horse.
I heard something different, Jennifer.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, a horse.
All right, go ahead.
I would, at night before I would go home from work, I'd climb up on his desk and dress it in Build-A-Bear clothes.
I did this
for about a year. He couldn't figure out who was doing it. It was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
I mean, the time commitment for that is commendable,
yeah,
Jennifer.
A year.
That is commendable.
You have to be patient when you're pulling pranks. Like, you can't want that immediate gratification. You gotta wait.
You gotta play the long game.
You've gotta be in it for the long haul.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right. You really have to be chill about it. Like, you just gotta wait. You gotta do the poker face. I don't know who's doing this to you.
Oh, gosh.
Kind of thing.
That is funny. Oh, Jennifer, you've been a ball to talk to this morning.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care. See you.
All right.
And then Shaq sent us a note that said, my so-called friends wrapped every single thing in my room in Christmas wrapping paper, bed, pillows, individual shoes, dresser, lamp, everything in my room. They used about 15 rolls of wrapping paper at least.
Oh my gosh, please tell me you got a picture before you opened everything back up.
That is elaborate. I love this. Well,
that's epic. This is hilarious, Melissa. My husband's a big grizzly manly man, and I'm never able to pull off a prank on him. I finally did, though, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Found online a nail polish that goes on clear, and then when you're out in the sun, it changes colors.
Oh.
My husband is a supervisor over a major tree company, so he works outside in the sun, and at their morning meeting before everyone went their own way, he was talking, and all the guys noticed and started laughing, and his nails had turned bright, hot pink. She said, best prank ever. He was trying to scrape it off all day.
That's funny.
That's good stuff. Amber said, I put Tabasco sauce in my coworker's Mountain Dew.
Ew.
His face turned beet red. He ran to the water fountain. So funny. But needless to say, he got me back by putting anchovies in my coffee.
Oh, gross. Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for all the calls, all the texts, posts, and tweets about these elaborate pranks on 99.7 DJX.